and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's crackdown on migrants who are in the U.S. illegally is underway across the country. Nearly 1,000 people were arrested or detained yesterday. CBS's Lilia Luciano.
The number of people arrested by ICE and other collaborating agencies through the weekend was vast, especially on Sunday. It tripled the average daily arrests under the Biden administration.
It is heavily destroyed, but hundreds of thousands of Palestinians are returning home after more than a year of war. This woman via interpreter.
The road is tough and exhausting, but our joy outweighs the weight of everything we carry.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is set to appear before the Senate Finance Committee Wednesday as President Trump's nominee for Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
This is shaping up to be one of the, you know, must-watch hearings, just given Kennedy's past statements on vaccines.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin Rapids has a new fire chief. Deputy Chief Benjamin Goodrow has been appointed to serve as fire chief for the city. He will succeed former Chief Todd Eckes, who retired on December 31, 2024. Chief Goodrow has been with the department for 18 years. He said he is deeply humbled by the opportunity to serve alongside the men and women who dedicate themselves to serving our community within the fire department. Goodrow said together they will work to enhance services, ensuring to meet the evolving needs of the community with professionalism, proficiency, and compassion. He is honored to step into this role and continue building on the department's commitment to excellence. Wisconsin's employment numbers hit new record highs to close out 2024. Here's Lisa Hale.
According to the Department of Workforce Development, the state ended the year with over 3,075,000 people working, an increase of about 32,000 over the December 2023 numbers. Unemployment numbers saw a slight increase from 2.9% in November to 3%, still well below the national average of 4.1%. In total, the state had a labor force participation rate of nearly 66%, higher than the national average of 62.5%.
Wisconsin nonprofits that support victims of domestic violence are looking for solutions as federal funding cuts limit their ability to continue offering their current level of service. According to a WPR report, a number of those nonprofits are now facing significant delays and backlogs with reduced funding through the Victims of Crime Act, forcing them to reduce staff and sometimes even turn away cases that they would have otherwise accepted. Some organizations have reported losing as much as 70% of their funding through VOCA. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Bills lose in Kansas City. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Buffalo Bills lost the AFC Championship game to the Chiefs 32-29. The Bills had the lead 10-7 in the second quarter, despite losing defensive back Christian Benford after he was carted off the field with another concussion. Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
You know, losing CB hurt us early there. We had a chance to convert a fourth down there, fourth and short, and then another fourth down late in the game there. It looked like we had a chance to catch it. Didn't work out that way.
The Chiefs are headed to their third consecutive Super Bowl. Head coach Andy Reid.
I'm proud of our guys battling. I mean, Pat Mahomes was phenomenal. You know, Travis Kelce, their leadership, Chris Jones, they didn't waver at all, and they know when to have fun, but they also know when to bear down.
The Chiefs will take on the Eagles, who beat Washington 55-23. NBA, the Bucks are in Utah tonight to play the Jazz. College basketball, the Badgers with a blowout win at home over Nebraska, 83-55. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A windy day today with increasing clouds. A few flurries can't be ruled out. A high near 33, wind gusts as high as 40 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight, a low around 15, still breezy. Perhaps a few sprinkles or flurries on Tuesday, breezy with a high near 37. Current temperature is 33.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in the state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, friend and colleague Maggie Dawn joining us at 10:33 to talk all things Wisconsin. We will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 27th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Looking forward to that. Right now, we have in with us James Bina. He is the District Administrator and Ed Hauer Elementary School Principal. James, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much, James. It's always great to be here on WFHR, and we always appreciate the opportunity to talk about the great things happening in the Port Edward School District.
We got to have you more often, in more often. One, because we just don't cover Port Edwards nearly enough, and I would like to. I know that us here at the station would like to be able to do that more. Also, so I can get your last name down better. I apologize. Did I get it even close? Or was I close there?
You are absolutely correct. Bina, it's phonetic, B-E-N-A. I work at Ed Hauer Elementary School, so that's one we only hear a couple of times a year, but Ed Hauer.
Yeah, yeah. And I appreciate not only as much as we can get that in and as much as we can have you on the air, great. Especially you guys have some really great stuff going on over there. Let's start with the State Education Convention.
Absolutely. Before we get into that, a couple of things that I want to add, James, and as you mentioned, Port Edwards, we are somewhat of a hidden gem here in central Wisconsin. We are a small school district. We offer small classes, and we are tucked right here between Nakusa and Wisconsin Rapids, but we offer almost all of the great things that large school districts do in a very small school setting. So we are doing amazing things, and I'm very excited about the opportunity to speak with you here today, James. Mm. Before we talk about the State Education Convention, there are two items that I do want to mention since we have the opportunity. The Port Edwards School District, on a serious note, we would like to send our condolences to the family of Mr. Marshall Bueller. Mr. Bueller was a pillar in the Port Edwards community for decades. Born and raised in Port Edwards, he passed away late last week at the age of 98, known to many people as a village historian. So Port Edwards School Districts, and speaking on behalf of the community, we send our condolences to the Bueller family on the passing of Mr. Marshall Bueller.
Appreciate that, and appreciate so much that family and the work that he did. I'm Absolutely. A history lover, and we talk with a lot of historians in this area, whether it's at our Historical Society here in town or Historic Point Boss, and need more individuals like that and people to pick up the mantle when we lose people to keep this history alive and going. This is all of our history, and we should be proud of it, and Mr. Miller certainly was.
Mr. Bueller, did a wonderful job. He was absolutely an icon in Port Edwards, and I would say central Wisconsin when it came to documenting and presenting the history of our area. So, Mr. Bueller, our condolences to his family for certain.
So now, do you want to dive into the State Education Convention? This was a pretty interesting one, and it just happened this past week.
Absolutely, James. Yes, myself, three members of our Board of Education and our business manager, we attended the Wisconsin State Education Convention, which was held at the Baird Center in downtown Milwaukee, January 22nd through the 24th. This is the largest education convention held in the state each year, always held during the third week of January. It's attended by hundreds of school board members and administrators statewide. There are meetings that run from 7 in the morning until late into the evening, and we talk about all things that impact schools, from school funding to business contracts to different areas of curriculum. We talk about textbooks. We talk about technology, building and grounds, school governance, and just a wide variety of educational topics. So we hear from schools that are doing innovative things. They're doing some of the best practices in the state. And our one of our primary goals in going down there is to learn some of those best practices and bring them back home here to Central Wisconsin, James.
What were for you some of the highlights of the event?
Sure, absolutely. Some of my big takeaways, James, was I learned some of the best practices about environmental education. We have a wonderful environmental learning center in the Port Edward School District that we would like to maximize and utilize more. I learned some information about successful all-day 4K programs. We learned some things about some of the technical aspects of business contracts, working with outside vendors, which is very important for the Port Edward School District, as I'll be discussing our referendum projects in a little while. And then also collaborating with outside companies and seeing what types of services we can bring into Port Edwards to maximize learning and to maximize the overall learning opportunity for students and our teachers.
One of the cool things I think about something like this is certainly an opportunity to get better at something that you're already good at. You know, mm-hmm. I remember growing up, my Aunt Nay cut hair, and she would leave for a couple weeks every year to go to a convention, learn new styles, techniques, and those things. And we always thought it was really interesting, but to her, that was how she stayed relevant. That was how she stayed alive in the industry. Every business is like that, and every industry is like that. You can grow and get better at everything. And then you have the idea of peers and peers being able to share information. With all of that, Jim, was there anything that you took from this that was also maybe something that we can't, maybe it doesn't relate to Port Edward schools or even Wisconsin schools, but you were kind of like, wow, well, that gives me some perspective about my job or how we have it here. Just in hearing some of these stories or anything, or was just a lot of shared stories, just a lot of noticeable relatability?
Yeah. I would say, James, on that level and that question you arise, I heard a theme over and over about the importance of valuing people, valuing our employees, valuing our families, and doing real tangible things each day to show them how much we value them. And I feel like we do a good job of that in Port Edwards. We really try to reach out and appreciate our people, appreciate all levels of our staff. At the same time, we can always do better, right, James? We can always do better. So I brought some ideas back about making sure that as an organization, we continue to value all of our workers, all of our staff. We are a team. There is no job that's more important than anyone else. We all make the Port Edward School District a great place. And that was one of the themes that I heard each day at the State Education Convention, the importance of valuing our staff. And we want to do that the best we can in the Port Edward School District.
Yeah, I think that even if, especially for if you haven't been in school in a while, or you haven't had kids in school, some of this stuff we did when we're young, we don't think about. We're, you know, there's a million other things going on for kids when they're growing up that they don't necessarily think about. So many of the layers and all the working hands it takes to make one school just run. Mm-hmm. Just from, you know, in the morning to at night, just all the different moving parts and pieces it takes to do that, let alone multiple times a week, multiple schools throughout the whole country, throughout the whole county, any of these things. There are so many things that even working and talking with people like yourself all the time that I don't even know and that I don't even mm-hmm. think about. So I think that something like this is also noteworthy in the sense of the sharing of information, the growing and everything, but also, hey, just some people that understand a little bit more of what you're going through. I can have all mm-hmm. the empathy in the world for the job, and I'm appreciative of what you do and our teaching teachers out there and all that, but I can't relate to it like another teacher can. Even me, who does technically teach, I teach acting. It's mm-hmm. not the same thing. I value my fellow teachers and everything, but even they will admit it's not the same thing as teaching math to third graders. Mm-hmm. There's a big difference here. The relatability there for you and your colleagues to be able to just have that even is got to be pretty helpful, I would think, in this day and age where we're trying to get more and more people to get into teaching.
Absolutely. When you can sit down at a table or go into a convention hall and talk common ground with people that are going through the same experience as you are every day, and you can relate to that person and you can hear back some of the things they are doing to make their schools as efficient as possible and as effective as possible and being the best stewards they can for their families. It's great to hear all that information and bring it back and see how you can customize it to your school district. You know, of course, it goes without saying, James, some of the schools that presented there, I heard a school district of about 3,000 students.
Wow.
You know, they presented. Well, our school district is about 430 students. So you have to shape it to the size of your school, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you can't do everything they're doing, but if you can take some of their ideas and adapt it and make your school district a little bit better, it was a worthwhile convention.
It's really good to hear. Very good to hear. And again, thank you for sharing it with us. So I also wanted to mention the 24-25 PEEF Grant Award winners. And this has been around for a while for those that may have not have heard of this before.
Right. PEEF stands for the Port Edwards Education Foundation, which was begun in the mid-1990s. It was initiated by former school district administrator, Mr. Ed Hoyer. And since 1998, the Port Edwards Education Foundation, or PEEF, as it's commonly known as, it has awarded grants each year to school district, Port Edwards School District teachers. And these grants are for the purpose of supporting additional classroom programming. James, I'm going to maybe blow away our listeners a little bit with this number. But since its first year of donations in 1998, PEEF has awarded $393,154 to the Port Edwards School District. Now, that's over since the course of 1998, but that has supported additional programming outside of the regular curriculum, things like field trips, additional curriculum, additional products, additional machinery, things like that. And this approximately $400,000 that PEEF has awarded to Port Edwards Schools has helped make Port Edwards a unique place to go to school. It has made the programming that much better. So as I mentioned, we are a small school district. We offer the small school, the advantages of the small school, but the additional funding through places like PEEF allow us to offer that robust programming as well. So that's one of the things that makes the Port Edwards School District really stand out. If I may, James, could I point out the this past year's PEEF winners?
Please, yeah.
Awesome. So in the fall of 2024, we had 9 school district teachers earn PEEF grants. They have to write out about a 2-page grant. It has to go through a review process. And nine different grants were given out, totaling $32,220. Mrs. Frizzell wrote a grant for a Spanish language immersion camp. Mrs. Bortz for CPR mannequins. Ms. Parshesky and Ms. Anderson wrote 2 grants for the instrumental and the choral department. Mrs. Peters for science wrote one for a DNA gel electrophoresis. Mr. Erdman wrote one for a strings orchestra program. Mrs. Tuttle wrote one for standing to learn better. Mr. Bernal wrote a grant for multimedia printer and cutter. And Mr. Thomas wrote a grant for fitness assessments. So again, those grants totaled $32,220, all awarded from PEEF. So thank you very much to the Port Edwards Education Foundation for supporting Port Edwards Schools.
That number is amazing. It's a good story of the day hearing something like that. That is an investment. That is an investment in the greatest thing we can invest in our future and our kids, and helping our teachers do that. That is amazing. I think what is also unique about this is hearing so many of a lot of different areas these grants have helped, a lot of different fields they've helped. But all of them go to the same place of education, of furthering education, of getting these kids more and more opportunities to learn more. And something else that stands out to me, not only about this, but about the convention and the support. Certainly the support for education, the support for, you know, I would like to think that the majority of us all agree kids are the future. We should all be investing in this.
Yes.
But supporting teachers, supporting educators, I don't know because I'm not in the industry, but I feel and from what when I talk to people and from what I'm seeing in the last couple of years, I feel like we're coming around on this a lot more and getting a lot more to where, man, I really appreciate these people. They're doing a job not everybody wants to do. They're doing a job not everybody can do. We should probably appreciate that. And putting more support to that, and putting more and more, whether it is grants and funds or anything like that, or a convention and sharing of information, or just a community that is more supportive of the educators. Mm-hmm. We're seeing more and more of this, I feel. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very thankful for that, because it's important. We need educators. We need good teachers. And if we're ever to have young people want to do this for a living, we need to do this stuff now. We mm-hmm. need to be doing these things. We need to be having these kind of conversations like you and I are having, mm-hmm. where they're hearing this stuff and they're saying, oh, this is a field I want to get into. Mm-hmm. This is where I want to get my life and dedicate this to it, to this. These kind of things, I think, help with that. As much as it helps the kids, and that comes first to me at least, mm-hmm. it doesn't hurt that these kind of like side, benefits, if you will, from this and stuff and everything are a lot of helping our education system and showing some support towards it.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you, James. You use the term investing in our future. And sometimes we hear, I have to pay this for the schools now, or I have to pay that for the schools now. And that is a term that we heard at the convention, and that's a term I would hope that we can hear more and more of, is we are investing. It truly is an investment. It's an investment in our local area, in our state, and in our country as well. If we are investing in our children and doing the best that we can for them, we are investing in our future. And another point that you mentioned, James, was supporting our school staff. Working in schools is extremely challenging, and it does take a very unique skill set, and it takes a very unique person. And not just our teachers. Our teachers are incredible. They are amazing. But our bus drivers, our custodians, our food service workers, our clerical staff, they all deal with challenges in doing the best thing we can for our students every day. So it is extremely challenging, but it's also extremely rewarding. And I certainly hope that we can remember that every day, how important of a job that our school staffs do.
And I think a perfect segue from that is going right into a referendum update, if you don't mind.
Absolutely. As you know, we passed both an operational and a capital referendum this past year in Port Edwards. The operational is to pay for our daily services. The capital referendum is to improve our building and grounds. We have some capital projects that are taking place both during spring break and then throughout the summer months. In March, we are going to be removing our elementary gym partition wall. In June, when students are out of the building, is when some of our major projects start. At the middle and high school, we are doing abatement of asbestos from our masonry. We are doing elementary school IT upgrades. We are going to improve our internet cabling. In July, we are doing some massive masonry repair at the middle and high school. We are doing asbestos abatement from the flooring in the elementary. And we are doing some ceiling work at the high school. And then in August, this is a real schedule. It's a real progression. We are replacing the elementary cafeteria floor and installing new cafeteria tables. So we did find out through this work we were doing for the referendum, James, we have excellent buildings. They are very strong. They are very stable. We want to continue to use them. They're historical. They are beautiful. We just have to modernize them and keep them highly functional for the 21st century.
This is something we see in ballparks across America, where they want to keep the ballpark around. They just got to update it a little bit on the inside and stuff. It's very similar to what's going on here. It's also a good story of the day because I think this is noteworthy as well when we see around the state some schools closing down, some schools having to combine with other schools. And a lot of the time, not always, but a lot of the time that is because the building's falling apart or something. There's no funding for it. Here's a good story. Here's a really good thing that's happening and keeps our kids in Port Edwards, keeps our kids in that wonderful building with those great people and everything. These are all really cool things. And as another thing, the jobs it creates as well. We have a lot of great construction workers in this community and that are going to be working really hard in those buildings and doing some great work over there. So this is a really positive thing for everybody. And something I think we can all take a little pride in.
Absolutely. It's a win-win. We do have beautiful historic buildings. I'm taking a look over at your laptop. And if you look at the front page of our school district website, you'll see a beautiful view of John Edwards Middle and High School. And, you know, built in the 1920s, it is a gorgeous building. And again, the bones of that building are extremely strong. We are just updating it and keeping it the great building that it's been for many decades. And even though it may look similar on the outside, we are modernizing it for 2025 with, you know, again, technology, and we have new phone systems coming in and new PA systems coming in, and making sure it's got all of the benefits of a modern building with that beautiful historic appearance.
Any other notes on this before we go to our final topic?
I would just like to mention, before we run out of time, James, if I may, a very important note. I wanted to discuss the YMCA daycare just for a moment. This past year, James, the YMCA daycare moved from the Southwood County building in Port Edwards into Ed Hoyer Elementary School. We have the daycare as well as the 4K program there. And I did want to mention to our listeners, we have open spots at our daycare. There's been a lot of discussion in our area over the last few years about daycare openings and a lack of daycare. If anyone is interested in coming to the daycare at Ed Hoyer Elementary School, please contact Tracy Verwink at the YMCA in Wisconsin Rapids. Again, contact the YMCA Rapids. There are openings at our daycare at Ed Hoyer Elementary.
That is really helpful. Thank you for that. Thank you for that letting us know about that service. You're so right about that. One of the biggest topics, I think, in America, but especially in Wisconsin, is childcare. So
absolutely,
that is really good to hear.
Sure.
And speaking of kids, let's wrap up with Opera for the Young. Gosh, this sounds awesome. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Yes. I'm actually going to try to slip in two great things, James, before we run out of time. This Friday, January 31st, in the elementary cafeteria, the Opera for the Young program. They travel around public schools in Wisconsin, and they perform well-known musicals. They do a different musical each year. This year, they are performing The Magic Flute this Friday at 1:30. In advance of their performance, they share their song list with our elementary music teacher. He teaches our children that song list. And then the Opera for the Young performers, while they're the professionals up on stage, they invite some of our students to perform different roles with them. And this is not, unfortunately, open to the public. We don't have enough room for that, but we do invite some of our elementary families. And it is just an incredible, incredible, cool, you know, performance of these classical shows that students might not otherwise see.
And you had something else?
Yes, absolutely. This is coming at the end of 2025, but a very, very awesome opportunity. In early December, the John Edwards High School Band will be marching in Hawaii. They are joining the Lincoln High School Band. They are marching at a Pearl Harbor Day parade. So they'll be in Hawaii for about 5 days to perform as well as to participate in tourist and cultural events. So very cool. I want to give some props to Ms. Emily Anderson, our band director, and the John Edwards High School Band for that opportunity to go to Hawaii.
Congratulations to them. That is awesome.
Isn't that great?
And just so many great, awesome things going on over at the Port Edwards School. Thanks so much for updating us on all that. We really do appreciate the time. Looking forward to talking again real soon. Don't be a stranger. Especially anything going on over there, we can help promote or talk about. Doors open as always, okay?
Thank you so much, James. I always love this opportunity to come and talk about all the great things happening in Port Edwards.
People have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they reach you, sir?
Absolutely. My phone number is 715-887-9000, extension 102. I'd be more than happy to share the good news about Port Edwards schools with anyone.
And we'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanction lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. sent. The pin's still set by people. Swear, and you're tossed out. The ants are coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pin still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A new $200 million high-performance computing facility will soon be coming to Wisconsin Rapids. Digital Power Optimization Incorporated, or DPO, is working in partnership with Billerud subsidiary Consolidated Water Power Company to build the new facility on land within the old mill property. This state-of-the-art project will enable up to 20 megawatts of AI computing. DPO has secured a definitive land lease extending for up to 50 years, interconnection rights to an existing and energized substation, and access to a firm power supply. DPO expects the project to break ground and begin vertical construction in 2026. The city of Wausau is holding its annual Pause and Protect Clinic on Sunday, March 9th. This is an opportunity for free rabies vaccines and discounted microchips to cats and dogs in the city. Pause and Protect will be held at a new location this year. It will be inside Marathon Park at East Gate Hall on March 9th from noon to 3. The Wisconsin housing market is getting less and less affordable. According to the Wisconsin Association of Realtors, increasing home values, higher mortgage rates, and stagnant incomes have made it tougher for people to pay for their home. Median home prices rose almost 9% across Wisconsin in 2024. The average home price statewide is now $310,000. Meanwhile, in Madison, the median home price has been about $430,000 for a bit. Inventory is still low, keeping demand high. According to Redfin, the Midwest is the most affordable region of the country, but we now also have the fastest-growing prices. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter at WFHR.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabo. If you're looking for a new hobby that requires almost absolutely no activity, consider herkle-derkling. It's a centuries-old Scottish tradition. Herkle-derkling translates to the art of lazing in bed. The practice encourages people to stay in their pajamas and not get up. Most of us consider this being lazy or depressed, but if you use the phrase herkle-derkle, it makes it sound more clinical. Still probably not an acceptable excuse for being late to work. Now, hotels are encouraging people to take a herkle-derkle stay. Yes, by all means, go spend a few $100 a night to stay in bed and not do anything. Money well spent. Amy Schumer says she might actually be canceled after admitting to hooking up with a fan. She talked about the experience on the Call Her Daddy podcast, saying that a professional baseball player who was a huge fan visited her for a rendezvous in her hotel room one night. She goes into more detail on the podcast. Let's just say they did more than herkle-derkle. Schumer's new comedy special, Kind of Pregnant, drops February 5th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy tonight, to low in the upper teens to around 20. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, maybe an early flurry with some sunshine for the afternoon. High temps into the mid-30s. And mostly sunny for Wednesday. Highs, low 30s. Right now it's 33.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Freezing your credit sounds drastic, but it's not. In fact, freezing your credit is one of the best ways you can protect yourself from identity theft. Freezing your credit doesn't stop your credit score from going up or down. It's just a way to make sure that nobody can open an account in your name, not even you, without removing your freeze first. So to freeze your credit, you just contact each of the three major credit bureaus and you request a credit freeze. Just search up the term credit freeze and you'll find the phone numbers and websites where you can get it all done. And don't worry, you can always unfreeze your credit when you need to apply for new credit, like a loan or something, by contacting each bureau again. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org or text money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome comedian and founder of Chip's Money Tips, Chip Chinnery, and filmmaker Nathan Demming, who is touring Wisconsin to promote his film February. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with P. Schwaba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Monday, January 27th, 2025. Have your host, James, here, and we're joined by our great friend, Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Steph, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Always great to hang out with you. How have things been over there in the new year?
Very good. Very busy, but very good.
Yeah. we relate to that to each other in both of our industries quite well. And I imagine it's busy over there because you guys got a really cool new exhibit starting up.
We do. It just opened on Thursday, so this is the first full week that it's open. It was an artist invitational. We invited 7 artists to be a part of it. It's called Exploring Nature, Whimsical, Wild, and Zen. And these artists blew it out of the water. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So we have Emily Graff, Connie Hankey, who is a retired art instructor from town here and the president at the Alexander House, Christine Herman, Jim Lyons, Kate Marotz, Amy Way, and Greg Yar. And Greg Yar, a lot of people know from the town of Rome, great photographer. So I really encourage people to stop in and check it out. They really did a beautiful job of interpreting nature to us and all different mediums, which is really cool to see. So,
Stephanie, you and I have gotten a chance to do this for a long time, whether it is with the Cultural Center or other times we've been, you know, I've interviewed together and everything. So I hope you know how much I respect you and appreciate you.
But thank you.
I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I did have something I didn't bring up in our pregame that I wanted to bring up.
Oh,
because
boy. Okay.
We do a show, Director's Playhouse, around here where we like to feature artists and creatives in the community. And I would really love to build a bridge with that show and our artists that are showing up over here.
Perfect.
And getting them on our show and extra, you know, kind of an extra promotion of them and these artists while also kind of getting a chance to get to know them a little bit more.
Yep.
and promote some of our local artists in this area. It's what the whole show's design is for, but we need a connection with those artists, so I'm going to lean on you for that.
You can do that.
My mother is in the back of my head yelling at me for putting you on the spot.
That's okay.
But I also kind of thought that this be, yes. I had a pretty good feeling that you'd be all right with.
Yeah, make.
Yeah. But
absolutely.
In all seriousness, this is such a cool idea. Now, in the Cultural Center does this kind of thing a lot, where you bring in not just artists, but artists that have multiple perspectives and multiple mediums, and kind of while the theme is there, they're approaching it differently and giving you so much more to be entertainment with it.
Exactly, and it's so cool because we have woodworking, we have mosaics. We have felting, wet felting, which I had never even heard of, honestly.
Yeah.
And the work that they do is just absolutely incredible. So, yeah, I encourage you to stop in. Our business hours are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We have classes at night. We are open on the weekends for special events. If you would like to come see the exhibit and it doesn't work in our business hours, please just give us a call and we'll arrange a time for you to come see it.
It's something also to keep in mind, too, that with an exhibit like this, the energy is so good. It's such a positive energy. And I think that that's something that we could always use a little bit more of in our society these days and stuff. But it's also something that I think is organic. Like,
yes.
You don't go there necessarily thinking or feeling this way. I think you leave feeling that way and leave from it that way. And that's one of the beauties of art, one of the great things that art can do and great artists are able to do. And you've got just 4 great artists over there being a part of this exhibit.
Yeah, we had a tour group on Friday, had about 20 people in from a place in Stevens Point. And they just went on and on. They just loved it. Some of the folks wanted to stay longer, and their chaperones were like, nope, we have to go now. Yeah. It's time for us to go and go for lunch. But it was so fun to watch them come in and then just look around and be amazed by all the different pieces. So it was fun.
And Stephanie, if I got this right, you're able to purchase art from the exhibit, possibly?
Absolutely. There's tons of pieces for sale. There is one piece that is not for sale because the artist sold it right before the show was going to open.
Yeah, that happens.
Which, at least the buyer was like, yes, you can display it, but I want it when it's over.
Yeah, right.
And we sold some pieces at opening night. But yes, I would say 99% of the work is for sale. So,
well, and most of us are going to have something up on our walls.
Right.
How cool to be able to not only have something on your walls you like to look at every day and everything, but you also every day when you look at it, you know, I supported an artist with
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I supported my area. I supported our local creative community.
Yep.
Just by having something in my house that I love to look at.
Right. And we have the whole exhibit as well as the gift shop. We have some great items in the gift shop right now. After the holiday show, you know, we kind of did like a reboot.
Yes.
So we have new items in the gift shop as well. And it is a great opportunity to buy something that you know was made local. You're supporting local artists. What a great opportunity.
Well, and, you know, we talk a lot about this, especially since the pandemic, of buy local, support local. And boy, do we mean that. It's one of our favorite mantras here at WFHR and something we believe very strongly in. I hope people, you know, under that umbrella also include the idea of artists.
Yes.
and artists and promoting that and supporting that local work and helping them continue to do that great work. Again, most of us are going to have knickknacks or paintings up in our houses. Why not have stuff from local creatives, local art that you can point to and say, that didn't just come from a department store.
Right.
That came from so-and-so.
Right.
And you can maybe even promote that artist to where other people will buy their work.
Exactly. And that happens a lot. We'll have, you know, someone come in and say, well, my friend got, you know, this really cool pin. Do you still have those? Jewelry is a big one that people kind of like the style. We have woodworking. We have all sorts of things. So it is really great to have a place that you can go. You know it's handmade. And it kind of makes a special gift for someone else as well.
You know, one of the more popular websites, more popular things right now is Etsy. And yep. That's great. This is that without the middleman.
Exactly.
I mean, this is, you know, straight up just right there to the source. You don't even have, you have that right there in front of you to be able to look at the items and all that. And it's such a better version of that to me.
Yes, I agree.
Being able to be a part of this.
Yep. Completely agree. And our next exhibit is supporting local as well. It's called Unraveling. It's the Creative Fiber Art Exhibit. And we are partnering with Southwood County Rug Hookers. And they will have, I think, about 60 pieces on display, maybe more than that. And then we'll do a call for art for 3D fiber arts.
Mm.
So we're going to kind of combine the show. We'll have a lot of wall hangings. But then with the call for art, we'll have 3D pieces as well. So that will be coming up in April. Hmm. That will open Thursday, April 17th from 5:30 to 7:30.
And for that exhibit, if people would like to be a part of it, if they would like to have something in the exhibit or anything, are they able to do that?
Absolutely. So very shortly here, we'll have the forms on our website that you can just go ahead and print the form. You can also stop in the Cultural Center, and we'll have that available as well. Or you can email us at cwcc@culturalcenterarts.org.
So many fun, great things happening over there. We only have so much time, and we never are able to cover everything going on over there. So I never like that. I would like to stay on these certain topics for a long time, but we have to keep moving.
Okay.
Because there's so many great things going on over there. And one of the things that you guys do so well is certainly supporting artists, helping artists promote their work and everything. Another thing is helping make more artists, which is above and beyond to me, and offering classes like they do over at the Cultural Center, Stephanie. Can we touch on those a little bit?
Yes, we actually have a huge lineup of classes coming up, more than we've ever had, I think.
Yeah, that's noteworthy.
In a time frame. Yeah, it's crazy. But we are doing a lot of mosaic classes. Our instructor, Cindy Orzel, is wonderful. and has been doing more of a small scale, I would say, mosaic. We also are in the midst of a mosaic window class that Bonnie Dine teaches that's a little more involved. So the classes with Cindy are a great way to get started, and then you can move on. Cindy's doing a number of classes coming up. A mosaic photo frame, we are offering, it's a three-part class. We're offering a day session and a night session. We've been hearing that, you know, folks say, oh, I wish you would do stuff at night. I work. So coming up, these classes are all being offered for a day session and a night session.
Again, above and beyond by those instructors.
Yes,
the people
absolutely.
Doing that, that's awesome. That's
absolutely.
Really nice of them.
Jeannie Weymouth is teaching a class coming up called Have a Heart. It's a stencil collage on Saturday, February 8th from 1 to 4. So that will be a really great class.
It's a great idea. That's a really good idea. And a well-named class.
Yes.
Like, well, pretty well-named.
That's Jeannie. And Jeannie's also teaching on Saturday, February 15th from 1 to 4. And it's called Just Stitch It. And it's learning a bunch of embroidery stitches. And they're going to finish with a bookmark. If you've seen the corner bookmarks that people are using, that will be the finished project after she teaches you some stitches. And all skill levels are welcome at all of these classes. And then we're doing another stained glass mosaic window. It's a smaller scale, so don't be scared away. And that'll be a three-part class, again, offering a daytime session and a nighttime session in February. You can find all of these classes on our website. You can register from our website, or if you prefer to not do that, which I understand some people don't want to do that, just give us a call. We'll put you on the list. You can stop in and pay before or pay the day of. And then one last class to mention, we're doing Birds on a Wire, which is a watercolor class. The example is so cute.
It is
fun.
Great. It
just
is so
makes
great.
Me smile.
Yes.
And that will be Tuesday, February 25th. Again, we're doing a day and a night session, and it's only $25 per person. It's a good kind of an introductory watercolor class.
Yeah, which is really cool to see. That's an art form that has become more and more popular, and it's really neat to see the adults having fun with that and everything.
Yes.
Jeannie, the instructor for the other classes there and stuff?
Jeannie is the two stitching classes,
yes.
And then Denise Larson is doing the watercolor.
With both of them could easily run a class of how to name classes as well.
Yeah, exactly.
They're very good at this.
They
very great names. Great names for these classes. But I say that, Jess, but also a little bit of maybe they could put in some work, because we have so many people out there that have so many different skill sets.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the things that I think is fun when you learn something is teaching it to others.
Yep.
It's not just, okay, I learned this cool new thing and what I can do with it, but it's teaching it to somebody else. And so many people in this area would like to be able to do that.
Right.
Say you are a wood carver. Say you're somebody who has a skill or do something as a hobby that maybe, you know, don't know that many people that do. Or maybe you're worried about more people not doing as younger people come up and everything, and you want to keep this skill alive. If I brought this to you, Stephanie, and said, you know, I'd like to be able to do this, can you maybe find some room? Is there ways to, you know, maybe bring – they are the next person we're talking about when we get together in a new class.
Exactly. So if people have interest in teaching, we just have them stop in the center or make an appointment if it needs to be at night or on a weekend. And we just work together. We determine what the class would look like. You know, what are the costs? We pay our instructors. We pay $25 an hour for instruction, $15 an hour for prep. So, yes, if you have a talent that you would like to share, please contact us. We would love it.
We understand, especially one of the things that I think is so unique about Rapids here and Central Wisconsin in general, but specifically in Rapids, is we have a good senior population. We also have a lot of younger people in this area as well.
Mm-hmm.
And those seniors out there, you have skills, you have hobbies, you have things that you are doing that maybe aren't being done anymore, but you would like to see them kept alive. Well, this is a great opportunity for that, because young people love taking these classes.
Yes.
So here you go. There's a win-win kind of situation where you get to continue this and have some fun and sharing your hobby and skill, while also knowing that maybe this is going to have future generations doing it.
Yes. And Cindy is a great example of that. She's recently retired, And she's like, I am having way more fun teaching than I did at my job.
That's so cool.
And it is great because she has folks who, I mean, we don't even get it out on the website and they're calling to register because mm-hmm. they love her style of teaching. Yeah. She's very creative, yet very laid back and really lets you explore like what you want to do. So people are really enjoying her classes.
There are so few opportunities for artists to make a living doing what they love to do. And I understand that they're making a buck for this or what have you. Nobody's doing it for the money. They're doing it for the love
for sure.
of this. That's really noteworthy. I think that's
right.
just as noteworthy of them taking the time out of their... You mentioned that they have offering a night class.
Yep.
Just doing things like that. Nobody... That's above and beyond kind of stuff. That's for the community. That's for the betterment of all of our community.
Right.
You know, while I love the idea of these continuing, we just never know who might this might start a spark in either.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, here's another young person keeping this skill set alive or just having fun with it or maybe making a living off of it.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And another thing that we offer that I don't talk about enough is open pottery.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one artist who started probably 2 years ago. I think she was 14 at the time, is 16 now. And to watch her skills develop has just been incredible. And she's selling a couple things in our gift shop now, and she just thoroughly enjoys what she's doing. So that's been really fun to watch.
It's really cool to hear. We are speaking with our friend Stephanie Hartman, Executive Director of the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. A couple more things to talk about, Steph. Definitely want to get into Artist Coffee. It's a great event.
Yes, that's coming up this week, Thursday at 9 a.m., and you don't have to be afraid. I've heard people say, I've always thought about coming, but I don't know anyone. That's the whole idea.
Yeah.
If you're an artist, come and talk with the other artists. It's really neat to watch them all share what they're doing, ask advice, get advice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a really nice time for people to get together and talk about what their skills are and learn from each other.
There's a relatability that you get when you talk to people that are from a similar industry or the same industry, that you can talk to 100 people that have all the empathy in the world. They're just not going to understand it the way that another artist will or another
right.
person will in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
You see this all the time. I talk about this actually with Sheriff Becker a lot.
And
him talking with others, you know, people in that industry, and
yep.
that there's a relatability that only they can get. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think, something to embrace. I think it's something that's a positive.
Mm-hmm.
While also giving an opportunity for people in outside of that industry to maybe have a little empathy and understanding of these things,
yes.
Whether it's the arts or anything else. There's the other part of this, too, that I really enjoy. One of my oldest friends, Will, he's a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
And Will is incredibly funny. He's a great writer. He does not need me. But we get together all the time and write sketches and work on his stuff.
Yes.
Because I just have a different angle than he has.
Yes.
And I just see, you know, I can't tell you how many times over the last 20 years where he'll say something or I say something. I'm like, oh, I didn't even think of that.
Sure.
Because we just have a different angle the way we look at stuff. That's arts. That's the
Absolutely.
Arts. And when you sit there and you're having your coffee, you're just having a good time. But maybe something happens or something is said that you didn't think of that takes your story or your painting or your photo, whatever you're working on,
mm-hmm.
to a whole different angle, a whole different work.
Absolutely. And I think just like writers,
mm-hmm.
artists are very humble and don't give themselves
yes.
enough credit.
Yes.
So, you know, they'll be in and say, one in particular was, you know, I'm working on this sketch, but I can't get the eyes right. And they were trying to talk about, you know, proportion and all these different things that, quite honestly, I don't even understand.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just sit and go, wow, that's cool. but just really neat how people can give input, or they say, oh, gosh, I wouldn't mess with it. It looks great. Or I wouldn't add that color because then that'll take away from this. It's great to watch everyone kind of collaborate and help each other out.
When is this event again?
That is this Thursday, January 30th from 9 to, we say 10:30. It's usually 11 because there's so much conversation
yeah,
you're
talking and stuff. About creatives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we don't keep much of a time schedule, but we do try.
And is this something that every month is available?
Yes. So it's the last Thursday of every month from 9 to 10:30.
Excellent. I do want to mention before we wrap up on our final topic, Writers Share. That's another great program that you guys offer that I know a lot of people have enjoyed.
Yes, and that's another fun group to listen to and kind of go back and forth and talk about, you know, what would you do with this? How would you change this? How can I develop this? We have a person who wants to learn how to publish a book, and two folks in our group have already published a book. Mm-hmm. So she's coming to February Writer Share. So again, just great resources.
Writer Share happens the second Wednesday of the month from 1 to 3. Again, all of this taking place at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, where you can also check out one of the greatest music acts you're going to see in all the area, Four on the Floor.
That's right. And they're coming up February 6th. From 2 to 4, they are the first and the third Thursday of every month from 2 to 4. And it's worth the price of admission, which is free. But they are a hoot to listen to. They're great.
Yeah. You know, something Stephanie and I were talking a little bit about in our pregame before we got going here and everything is, you know, certainly supporting young artists, new artists, and giving them a platform, giving them an opportunity to have their work out there and do something that is the ultimate American dream and making a living doing what you love to do, what you're good at.
Yeah.
And there's also the supporting of artists that have been doing this a long time.
Right.
Sometimes you sell their items in the gift shop or some of these things, or they offer classes like we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And there's somebody like Pete Ravel and Four on the Floor, where to me, all of those things, while also keeping this is living, breathing history.
Yes.
This is something you get to take in and see one of the better MCs, one of the better musicians we've ever had in this area.
Yep.
And it's twice a month you get to check this out. Like,
right.
It's just right there.
Right.
You stroll in, you check it, you take a listen, and I guarantee you'll be back.
Yes.
I guarantee you'll be coming back and checking this out. There are no reruns with these shows.
There are not. They are a really fun group to listen to. You'll be amazed how they play off each other and play together.
Yes. And you know, as long as they've been doing this, you would think it's their first show.
Yeah.
I swear to you, you would think, like, there's no exaggerating here or anything, everybody. I've seen Pete multiple times. I've had him in studio. I've been out of one, Robinson Park, all kinds of different venues. Every time this guy is out there, and he's so happy to be out there.
Yes, he is.
So happy to be performing. And that's contagious. That
yes.
You can't help but enjoy that. Along with the fact I should mention as well, incredible musicians, by the way.
Correct.
Very, very good at what they do.
Yes,
like
they
I
are.
Mentioned that last. But incredibly good musicians,
yeah.
Great music, great chance to take it all in. And again, it's free.
Yep.
While it is free, we do encourage you, though, to buy local, support local. In the at the Cultural Center, they have the gift shop. They have other opportunities to be able to invest, and it is an investment in our arts, investment in this community, investment in these great individuals.
Yep.
I will mention one more time until it changes. Last year, Wisconsin finished dead last in funding the arts. So
right.
This falls on us as communities.
So
this falls on us as people to keep these things alive. This is a part of our culture. This is part of our history. Let's help these artists not only do this, but also it helps us.
Yes.
It's a win-win situation for everybody.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're always very honored that we have the opportunity to help the artists. Our holiday show is a great example. Mm-hmm. We had over 11,000 in sales this year, and that goes back to the artists. I mean, we keep some to keep the lights on and that
kind of thing. Yeah.
But it's a great way to support local artists.
We're really glad you're keeping those lights on,
yes,
Stephanie.
Yes, me too.
We love hanging out with you. Looking forward to talking again real soon. If people want to know more about some of the things we talked about today, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. The phone number is 715-421-4598. As I mentioned, everything is on our website. It's really hard to keep a flyer up to date because we're always adding things or, you know, a class ends and suddenly it's out of date. So we do keep our website really up to date, and that's culturalcenterarts.com. And again, you can always email as well, which is cwcc@culturalcenterarts.org.
And you can find that email, the phone number, everything again at the website, culturalcenterarts.com. Stephanie, thank you so much for the time and everything you do in the community.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Well, and more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at WFHR.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the X.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday Tangents with our friend Luke Mathers. Find out what's grinding his gears and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Seems everywhere in this state, housing has just gotten so expensive. Our current president ran on promises to help the middle class, and I'd like to know what he's going to do about the housing shortages. I went through the executive orders. I read through the speech transcript a couple of times. Nothing he really said or did in the first couple days has anything to do with helping the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Immigration alerts. Some mayors, like Andre Saez of Paterson, New Jersey, are trying to reassure residents to stay calm amid reports of ICE raids.
People are not going to work. The children are not going to school. People are reluctant to go and even visit their doctor.
Vice President Vance visited Damascus, Virginia, to assess the recovery efforts from Hurricane Helene. He's accusing the federal government for the Biden administration to be MIA.
I think, unfortunately, while the people have done an incredible job at rebuilding this community, they have not had a federal government that's really been on their side.
Wall Street worries as tech stocks tumbled over the threat of a new high-performing, low-cost Chinese app called DeepSeek.
This idea that a Chinese startup can come from practically nowhere and be competitive against some of the biggest AI companies raises larger questions about how competitive these U.S. companies truly are.
That's our tech contributor, Ian Scher. CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from